Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff, a bunch of uns, the unbelievable, the underrated, the underreported, the unjust, the uninhibited, the unsaid. We get into a lot of the uns here. It's a special mix of culture, business, and personal stuff for underdogs. Every week to take you on that journey, you have your host, that's me, entrepreneur, consultant, certified coach, content creator, a bunch of other stuff. But when it's all said and done, I'm really into exploring how, as underdogs, do we rediscover our special stuff and how do we get our swagger back in business and life. A lot going on that sometimes knocks us off our game, and I'm always curious as to how we keep getting it back and how we keep that swagger so we can go out there and have the lives that we want, which may not be the lives that we have. Today's episode 78. We've done this 78 times. Today's episode, 2018 Front Street, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, in fresh perspective. The People's House, White House. There's an invader in there right now. He's orange. It wouldn't be a Gregory Neesmith Show if we didn't talk a little bit of politics. No one man should have all this power. Did you hear the news? Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice, said, everybody, yo, I'm out. Peace out. Out of here. Had enough. Anthony Kennedy, who is the longest serving member of the Supreme Court, is retiring. He has been the swing vote on many of the Supreme Court decisions, such as legalizing same-sex marriage and preserving Roe versus Wade. This has made him one of the most powerful men in America. If you think that it's kind of a big deal who gets to pick the Supreme Court justices, which is the responsibility of the president, and then consent and confirmation comes from the Senate. If you believe that, you know, Supreme Court justices are kind of a big deal, but you didn't vote in the last presidential election, or you didn't vote in the last statewide Senate elections in your state, then you're on Front Street. You like that howling dog. Guess the nail wasn't in deep enough for you prior to Neil Gorsuch and now a soon-to-be replacement from Anthony Kennedy that will come from President Donald Trump. Kennedy is 82 years old and the 14th longest serving justice in the court's history. He was around for a long time. With Kennedy gone, the court's decisions on things like campaign finance and corruption, voting cases, and gun rights are expected to kind of be status quo. Kind of is what it's been, will be what it's been. However, some things might change. You know, it's been odd to me. I'm not, to be very clear, right? I'm not a Supreme Court expert here. And most people aren't. So I know I'm not alone in that. But it is odd to me that this guy, Kennedy's retiring, they're like, he's the swing vote. And there's 9 Supreme Court justices, so they're like 4 people who normally lean what's considered to be aligned with how Republicans see the world. And there's 4 justices now, not including this guy Kennedy, that kind of lean towards how Democrats see the world, supposedly. And I'm thinking to myself, I guess when I was growing up, these phrases like justice is blind and we interpret the law as it's written and the scales of justice should be balanced. All that stuff just feels like lies now that I'm a little older and have a fresh perspective, because I didn't think we were supposed to be nominating people to the courts that it was so easily identifiable what party they're aligned with. We got parties. Parties in the executive branch and parties in Congress. I thought the third branch was supposed to be objective and not partisan. But maybe that was just wishful thinking and being misinformed. Maybe I was on Front Street. But now I got fresh perspective. So what is going to change? Because I don't want you on Front Street about this. It's a big deal. And if you think it's a big deal about who's on the Supreme Court and you're not going to vote in your midterm elections, especially if there's a senator on the ballot in November 2018 because the Senate gets to confirm who the president picks as the Supreme Court justice. If you plan to sit out the 2020 presidential elections, yet you think or believe that Supreme Court nominees are a big deal and they make a difference, then you're on Front Street. Knowing that there's a problem, but not doing anything about it, fronting. The court without Kennedy, who's the swing vote currently, who's about to be out, it could mean that a replacement that is more like the other conservative judges or more like the most recent appointee, Neil Gorsuch, could mean that there'd be five Neil Gorsuches-like folks. I'm not even going to run through all the names, but there'll be 5-4 for most decisions would lean what some would call Republican, some would call conservative. I think the nomenclature is a little odd as to what you call them, but let's just say there'll be folks that now majority on the court lean towards the right and less that lean towards the left. And so what that can mean is Roe versus Wade could be overturned. The courts would potentially be rejecting challenges to capital punishment and solitary confinement. The court going forward would likely rule in favor of religious challenges to anti-discrimination law and maybe reverse some past Supreme Court rulings on gay rights. And a future court with this soon to be new justice that's replacing Kennedy or will replace Kennedy could also potentially bar government actions from engaging in explicit race-based affirmative action and even more stuff. What's the dude in the People's House been saying about this?
Begin our search for a new justice of the United States Supreme Court that will begin immediately, and hopefully we're going to pick somebody who will be as outstanding. We have to pick a great one. We have to pick one that's going to be there for 40 years, 45 years. We need intellect. We need so many things to go. You know, there's so many elements go into the making of a great justice of the Supreme Court. You got to hit every one of them.
I guess there's the word is that Donald Trump's going to announce Anthony Kennedy's replacement on July 9th and that the Senate will quickly move to vote on that person before the midterm elections. If that sounds a little uncivil to you, and I use that purposely because for the past couple weeks, people have been throwing around this word civility like it matters. I think anybody spending time talking about civility is wasting their time. I think the discussion should almost always be about purpose, strategy, and tactics. Because I don't think Money Mitch McConnell was using civility when they didn't vote for Merrick Garland prior to the 2016 presidential elections. I don't think that was about civility. It was about purpose, strategy, and tactics. I don't think Senate got rid of the filibuster rule or needing 60 votes for Supreme Court justice for the move they did or called the nuclear option. I don't even know why they use nuclear as a term there. I don't like talking about nuclear or anything, but the Republicans said instead of 60 votes to approve a Supreme Court justice, we're going to do 50. I don't think that was about civility. I think that was about purpose, strategy, and tactics. And we got an election about to come up right now. And I'm sure civility would say that we will wait until the election is over in November, and then we will vote for the next Supreme Court justice to replace Anthony Kennedy. That would be, I guess, civility. But while Democrats are talking about civility, Republicans are talking about purpose, strategy, and tactics.
The Senate stands ready to fulfill its constitutional role by offering advice and consent on President Trump's nominee to fill this vacancy. We will vote to confirm Justice Kennedy's successor this fall. It's imperative that the president's nominee be considered fairly and not subjected to personal attacks. Thus far, President Trump's judicial nominations have reflected a keen understanding of the vital role that judges play in our constitutional order. Judges must interpret the law fairly and apply it even-handedly. Judicial decisions must not flow from judges' personal philosophies or preferences, but from an honest assessment of the words and actions.
If you think today's politics is about Maxine Waters and throwing Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of restaurants, and Donald Trump saying he could shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and it'd be okay, if you think today's politics is about we need civility, you're on Front Street. We need purpose, strategy, and tactics. You may not like Money Mitch McConnell, but I can appreciate that he's not worried about civility. He's worried about living out the Republicans' pursuit of conservatism, gerrymandering districts for elections, getting the court to be more representative of his ideology. Folks talking about civility, the Republicans seem to be talking about purpose, strategy, and tactics. Talking about civility, Front Street. I want to get my swagger back. I want to get my country back. I don't want to talk about civility. And meanwhile, while we're talking about civility, the vacancy on the court because of Anthony Kennedy retiring, who was actually appointed years ago by a Republican president, I believe it was Ronald Reagan, he'll get to be replaced by Republican President Donald Trump. And it could really shift how things go in our country and at the Supreme Court. Abortion. Losing Kennedy could mean that the court could potentially overturn Roe v. Wade, which has to do with whether or not abortion can be legal nationwide, or overturning Roe versus Wade would likely give the power back to the states to decide, and then abortion might be a state-by-state thing instead of a nationwide thing. We've talked mass incarceration a lot over the past couple weeks. We've had the game show host of Donald Trump and the reality star of Kim Kardashian taking photo ops. Also, getting Marie Johnson clemency, pardon, out of jail. But, you know, it to me it was a one-off instead of letting go a lot of people who were like Ms. Johnson. You know, kudos to get one out, but I want to get all out that have similar cases as hers. But, you know, the prison system, police, and mass incarceration is a big deal, and this new justice that's likely to replace Anthony Kennedy could mean that prisons and the death penalty in America could be, you know, more reinforced. Solitary confinement could be back in play again. Also, affirmative action could be in jeopardy as a result. Maybe something like doing away with public affirmative action programs might happen. If you think the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and mass incarceration are not still a big deal, if you think that racism's only in the South at best, you're on Front Street. We can't get our swagger back and rediscover our special stuff if you're on Front Street about that. And the reason why change of address can change your life is the first commandment of the 10 swagger back commandments, is because if we don't know what the problem is or don't know that we have a problem, then that means we can't go solve it. If we don't go solve it, that means we're not going to be able to get re-energized again. We can't grow again. We can't get things turned around, because we don't turn around things that we don't think that there's a problem. Shoot, sometimes we don't even turn around things that we do think are a problem. That's what the Howling Dog story is about. But it's even harder to solve a problem if we don't think we have one. Gay rights in America will be in jeopardy. I mean, no one man should have all this power, or woman. It's reported that two of the five leading candidates to replace Anthony Kennedy on Donald Trump's short list are women. So no one man or woman should have all this power. But you're on Front Street if you don't think that this next justice will have a lot of power. Underdogs. Today's episode 78. We've been talking about fronting Pennsylvania Ave and Fresh Perspective. What are you fronting about? Part of the 10 Swagger Back Commandments is changing your address or change your life, literally and figuratively. But hard, but moving's hard. I've fronted about some things in my life. I'm sure I'm fronting about some things in my life right now. And sometimes we're on Front Street for a couple reasons. Sometimes we're on Front Street because we literally don't know that there's a problem. One of the hardest problems to solve is the problem you don't even know you have. And then some of us are on Front Street because we're just in a bad situation and unsure of how to change it. But living on Front Street for too long has consequences. In the business world, one of my favorite examples is Netflixing and chilling versus Blockbuster and building. You stay on Front Street for too long and be like, yeah, you know, I'm Blockbuster. I'm big and bad. I don't care about people mailing DVDs around the country. Sounds like a silly idea. Return them whenever you want. That sounds crazy. Oh, yeah, live stream some stuff. I don't even know how many people got broadband. People love coming to my stores and buying popcorn and looking through all the cases of movies, picking them up and taking them home. People love Blockbuster. Stay on Front Street about your competition. And then 13 years later, after Netflix launch, you can be like Blockbuster and gone. Front Street has consequences. You can go to that job day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and be like, you hate it, you don't like it. It's frustrating, it's heavy, it takes your energy from you, you don't feel self-expressed. You can do that. And then it has an impact on your health, on your relationships, on your pocketbook or your wallet. Living on Front Street has consequences. It's hard to get our swagger back unless we change our address from 2018 Front Street to what I like to call Swagger Back Boulevard. I just made that up in the moment, but it sounds good. Why not? Let's move to Swagger Back Boulevard. Some of y'all are on Front Street about this recent Supreme Court justice opening. Anthony Kennedy, he's out of here. He's retiring. He's like, yo, I had enough. Time for me to chill out. Go spend some time with my family and friends. Let Donald Trump figure out who to replace me. Some of y'all on Front Street didn't vote in your last Senate elections, didn't vote in the last presidential election, but yet you telling me you care about and worried about this next Supreme Court pick, but didn't do any of those things. You're on Front Street. This is going to be a big deal. This could impact a lot of things. Or I've heard a lot of people say, Donald Trump's unpopular. There's no way he'll be elected to a second term. We only got to put up with him for 2 more years or so. And then we go through some of the ways you can tell whether or not you're on Front Street. One of them is self-reflection. One of them is getting feedback from others. The other is doing some investigating. And so if we do that last one, some investigating, you go inside the numbers and you realize Donald Trump is unpopular, but maybe not as unpopular as you think. Approval rating in the 40s. Well, just a few weeks ago, he had his highest approval rating since he's been in office of like 45%. Which shows he has the ability to go up somewhat. Then he had this whole zero tolerance thing, separating families at the border. It dipped a little. But who knows? If he could somehow not do things that are stupid, things that are anti-American, things that are bringing terror to children and their families, he might be able to keep it in the mid to upper 40s. And then all of a sudden he's got a shot. And while he may be unpopular to America in total, I bet you didn't know that he has an 87%+ approval rating from Republicans. They love him. And oh, by the way, for those who love sports, speaking of changing addresses, where's LeBron going? I hope he's going to the city of brotherly love, to my hometown, so we can win a championship. We haven't won one since the 80s. I digress. You know, change the address. Change your life. If LeBron changes his address to Broad Street, it could change the Sixers' life. But back to the odds and what are we on Front Street about? I think a lot of us are on Front Street about whether or not Donald Trump can get a second term. 87%+ approval by Republicans. Had his highest approval rating in June of 45%. And oh, by the way, you remember President Barack Obama during his first term? A lot of Republicans saying we're going to make him a one-term president. And about how there were a lot of forces going against him, and it's going to be tough for him to win re-election. And he did. You remember George Bush, the younger one? Remember, he didn't even win the popular vote. At the start of this century. Got some help from a hanging chad in the Florida Supreme Court. Talk about being unpopular in your first term. He didn't even win the popular vote. Oh, what happened to him? Oh, he got reelected. Bill Clinton. They used to call him the first black president until we got a real first black president. You know, looking back on it, so disrespectful that was one of his nicknames in the culture. But I digress. Bill Clinton got some help from Ross Perot, one of the most popular third-party candidates to ever run in a modern election, who probably took some votes from the older Bush. Bill Clinton, I believe, won with less than 50% of the vote. Known for allegations of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Also had the case with Monica Lewinsky. Also the perjury and impeachment. Not very popular. Oh, yeah. He got a second term, too. Ronald Reagan was very popular back then. Got a second term, too. So I'm just saying, you're on Front Street right now if you don't think Donald Trump can get a second term. What else are you frustrated about at home or at work or in your community? Vegas seems to think that Donald Trump's got a shot. I'm a big sports fan. And oftentimes when folks are trying to see where the momentum is or where's their energy, what can happen, sometimes we look to Vegas. We look for the betting odds to see what they think could happen. What are the odds? Who's the favorites? Who's getting even money, as they say? For all those who may think that Donald Trump's only going to be a one-term president, he's not very popular, and there's no way we'll elect a game show, former game show host to a second term. Just so you know, according to betonline.org, out of 46 potential options to be president in 2020, Donald Trump is currently the favorite, the front runner, with 7-4 odds to be the president of the United States after November 2020. Betting may not be a predictor or prophet of what's to come, but they do offer interesting insight into public perception. And what those odds say is that there's even money in a lot of folks who believe that Donald Trump can get reelected and at this point should be the favorite to be reelected. So if you haven't registered to vote, if you're not planning to participate in the elections in November of this year and in 2020, but yet you mad about things, it's natural, I get it. I've had my moments of checking in and checking out of this whole political process. But if we just keep howling about stuff and don't, quote unquote, get up off the nail, then we're going to be on Front Street. And I don't want us to be fronting about the future of our country. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.